Dear friends, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
In this Maundy Thursday service, we will hear the stories of Jesus' last days in his journey to the cross. We will gather around the Lord's table. We will pray and sing and have time for silent meditation on the wondrous love that caused our Lord to suffer for our sake. And following the service, there will be a prayer gathering in the parlor. Friends, our help is in the name of the Lord. May grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. Amen.
Jesus predicts his death. Jesus took the 12 aside, and he told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man must be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. On this Maundy Thursday evening, we turn our eyes toward the cross.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem.
Dearest Lord, how you did suffer for the sake of us sinners. You are constantly faithful, and we confess our lack of faithfulness. We have not loved you with all our heart and soul and mind. Lord, have mercy. We have not loved our neighbors as you taught us to do. Christ, have mercy. We have been indifferent to how you have graciously sought us out to rescue us from sin. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us and heal us by your steadfast love. Make known yourself to us in the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 6. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you.
A reading from Luke 22, verses 1 through 20, Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. When the Passover was approaching, Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They agreed to give him money, and he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover."
They asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for it?"
"As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there."
They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table.
"I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God."
After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said,
"Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to them.
"This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup.
"This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." "This is my life poured out for you."
As we prepare to participate in the supper of our Lord, we pray, concluding with the words from the Lord's Prayer as found in Luke 11. We give you thanks, gracious God, for Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our salvation. We praise you that before he suffered and died, our Savior gave us this holy sacrament and commanded us to continue it until he comes again. Merciful God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, so that in eating and drinking, we may be made one with Christ and with one another. Through Christ we pray, in the words he taught us, saying, "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, that we also may forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Amen."
We remember God's gracious love for us, Christ's death and resurrection for us, and the Spirit's tender care for us. Let us proclaim together now the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. All praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And now we will gather around the table in small groups. The elders will guide you to come forward and come down and then create a circle around the table, creating some space amongst yourselves. The elders will serve each person, and we invite you to partake of the bread and the cup as you receive it. And then we will dismiss you to your seats again. And during communion, we will sing.
Thank you.
All glory to you, Father in heaven, and to you, Jesus Christ. The Spirit testifies to our spirit that you are worthy of all glory and praise. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. And all God's people say,
reading from Luke 22, verses 24 through 30. Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel."
Luke 22, verses 39 through 48. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
Thank you.
Hear now familiar words, words we sang at Jesus' birth, words that take on deeper meaning when they are juxtaposed with the story of how he came to die. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. The men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him.
Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping.
The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to the babe, the son of Mary.
Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they shouted. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. Crucify him! Why? "What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder,
"So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him."
They stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again.
"The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him."
Above his head they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
This is Christ, the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came all over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the Christ who brings salvation.
"Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for."
And Jesus said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day, raised to life."
Today, remembering the power of the cross, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.